The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to The Payload, your Overwatch podcast, brought to you by blizzpro.com from Camarillo, California. I am Jimmy Bloxham, and today is September 7th, 2017. This is episode 79 of The Payload, and with me is a very special guest, Blevins from the High Noon podcast. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we met at TwitchCon, I believe, right? Last year?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you were kind enough to come to our panel at TwitchCon.
It was a great panel.
That was really fun. Yeah, cool. But
it was a podcasting panel.
Yeah, definitely. Trying to make it out to TwitchCon again this year. We'll see how that ends up working out.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah, I might. We're going to be talking about a different California trip I might be making instead.
Yeah, and if you are doing that, we'll most likely see each other again. But first of all, I just want to ask you a little bit about the High Noon podcast that people who don't listen to or haven't heard of it before. You can check them out, twitter.com, High Noon Podcast, and soundcloud.com/High Noon Podcast. But what do you guys talk about? Obviously, maybe a little bit Overwatch.
Yeah, so and also the best place to find all of our stuff is actually over at highnoonpodcast.com. We've just got all of our links and all that good stuff there. We've got some other content there too. But so the long story short, for High Noon Podcast is myself and my co-host Deathblow had actually done a Hearthstone podcast in the past called Unleash the Podcast. It's a mild success. It was fun. We're done with it after a while. We're over Hearthstone.
Yeah.
We didn't have the passion for it. So we took some time off, and then they announced Overwatch. We had talked about, actually with another one of our friends, about doing a podcast about it, but I just wasn't that jazzed. Fast forward, I go to BlizzCon 2015, and I had all the hype in the world. I immediately, like when I saw the first panel at that BlizzCon for Overwatch, was like, I texted Deathblow. I'm like, okay, we're doing this podcast. Or if you don't want to do it, I'm doing it. From there, this was super early on. We weren't sure how we were going to do it, if it was just going to be a general Overwatch podcast or what. We decided to go the esports route. So we have for now 82 episodes been covering mainly the esports side of Overwatch. So that's kind of where we've been.
Yeah, and that's really good that you guys are focusing in on that, because we'll talk about it a little bit later in some of the esports news, but there's a lot of events happening. Even with Overwatch League still not here right this second, there's still a ton of stuff going on, so I'm sure you guys are busy covering that. I mean, we kind of, on the Payload, we kind of try to cover a little bit of everything. But it can be a little much sometimes, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm glad we have you from the Overwatch podcasting community on here to talk a little bit of Overwatch. What we like to do to start off the show, though, is talk about our week in Overwatch. I'll start with mine. I finished my placement matches actually relatively early in the season for once. played with a friend, mostly duo queued, and went 3-6-1. A couple of losses were not too bad. Like, they felt like really close games. People were really communicating well on comms. It was just, it didn't feel bad to lose these games, but there were some, obviously you have some toxic people, and it is what it is when you play an online game. And and I landed in 1500, exactly 1500 SR, which I find hilarious. So only ways up, I think, from this point for me.
For sure.
Yeah, but mostly been playing support, which is, I don't know, what I kind of just end up doing anyways, and worked relatively well. But yeah, mostly just been playing that in Deathmatch as well. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in the news. But how about you? What have you been up to in Overwatch? I know you said you were playing right before we started the show.
Yeah, I was. So it's for anyone who has been listening to High Noon the past, I don't know, couple months, I've been like super not playing a ton, which is bad. I'm not trying to defend this bad behavior at all. I haven't played a lot. I did. I actually had a bet that if I did not do my placement matches last season, I would have to shave my beard. So I got those in last season.
Jeez,
and I don't have the camera on now because Skype is the worst piece of technology that's still currently in use.
Exactly.
But I have a pretty solid beard going right now. So it would be awful for that to happen.
Yeah, that would be.
So I decided to play most of my placement matches really quick. I have not finished them yet, though. I'm on pace to get to go about as well as you did.
Oh, no.
I think I'm at... I might have just gotten my third win before coming on the show. I think I'm like three. I might be 3-4-1 right now. Or no, actually, I think I'm 2-4-1. So I have a, or maybe 2-4-2, 5-1. I don't know. It's not good.
It seems like everyone who's played their placement match has gotten like one draw out of it. It's kind of weird. I don't even remember what our draw was on. I think it had to have been like on Voskaya or something, and both teams just held the first point like completely.
Yeah,
it was just like, okay, well, just spent 10 minutes doing nothing.
Yeah, mine was definitely on Numbani, and it was one of the ones where I just did not feel bad at all, because we played super sloppy. We actually got a full hold, but it just felt so bad, and I'm like, oh my god, we're never gonna get this.
Yeah,
or no, it was the other way around. We didn't capture the first point. And then we did well on defense. That's what it was. So I didn't feel bad about getting the draw. It was almost felt like a win.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Since we're already talking about this, we might as well just jump into the season 6 new stuff I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
We already talked about how our placements went. not great, but I'm curious. What are your goals for this season? Are you trying to hit a certain SR? Are you just trying to play a certain role? What do you got on the docket for this season?
Yeah, so normally the last couple of seasons I've placed in right around like low platinum, and like I've in previous seasons I've pushed close to diamond, not quite in diamond, but I've gotten low to mid plat placed, and then fought my way up to high plat, and then I might have hit in diamond once or twice. I don't remember. So my goals right now are to play more often. And I also, I want to learn Doomfist because he seems so fun, but I tried him out and I am just horrifically bad.
It's one of those heroes that just is either great or terrible, because playing against a really good Doomfist is an absolute nightmare to deal with. Because he just dives on your back line, all of a sudden your healer that's coming back from spawn just gets killed immediately. You're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, I am definitely one of those two things, and it is not good.
You haven't finished your placements, but you've played enough, I think, to at least have an idea. Hold on, I didn't state my goals for this season. Realistically, I would like to... I don't know if this is realistic, but I would like to climb 2 ranks to platinum. I've gotten high gold before in the past, so it definitely feels doable, but hitting plat would be awesome. I would just love to do that. I know that's about 1,000 SR, but so that's a long grind ahead of me, but we'll see if we can do that. And obviously that'll force me to play a little more consistently, more often. That should, in the end, improve my play, which would be a nice thing. But yeah, what do you think of Blizzard's changes to this season to change things around? Obviously, the best of 3 are control maps, shorter season, and they say more accurate placements, which seemed, I think, has been the case for most players, it seems like. What do you think of these? And are they a net positive for the competitive mode in Overwatch?
Yeah. So the high level of it is, I think the changes are great. The first time I played a King of the Hill map or a control map, or no, yeah, King of the Hill, it felt great. Like, it was, we went 1-1, and then I'm like, okay, this is the last match. This is great. I don't need to play for another, 40 minutes just to lose.
Yeah.
I want to be and like, I get the argument of like, oh, well, we want to see the better team win. It's like, I want to see that happen in esports. Okay. I want to see that happen in the finals of esports. I don't care about my random like high gold games. Like, it doesn't matter to me at all. Like, it's like, oh, well, we could have won. Yeah. Well, sorry, man. Like, we don't need to have an hour long match to see who's exactly the best player every single match. So I really like that. The shorter season, I think, it hasn't really affected me as much, but I know my co-host who plays, he's actually in Masters. He plays on a competitive team. He is like disincentivized from playing just because he doesn't want to lose his master rank. So because he needs to be in master to play in the open division and potentially in contenders. So
yeah, that's a little scary now that people can be demoted.
Right. So he doesn't want to he said he got placed in Masters and he's like, okay, I can now wipe my hands. I'll play once a week
sit on back, my account
and just play on my alts. It's like, okay, great. So I think the shorter season will it'll help that. It also wanted to make big drastic changes every season to make it really feel different from the previous season. So I'm all for that. And then more accurate placement. So we'll see. If I place significantly lower than I did the last two seasons, then we'll know that the placements are accurate, because I've definitely gotten way worse.
Yeah, I was placed a little bit lower, I think 200 or 300 SR than I was, which is fine, because I like you, played my placements for season 5 like I think the last 2 or 3 days of the season. Yeah. I was like, oh, I need to get these done. But yeah, this season should be interesting, and I'm really excited to see how it plays out for everyone involved. But let's get into the rest of the news from the past 2 weeks, and away we go.
This week in Overwatch.
But first, as we always do here on the payload, we have to thank our MVPs, Shadow, J.A. Correll, Liam O., Stuart J., Liang Z., Jacob S., and Adam W. Thank you guys for making the payload happen. Without your guys' support, we couldn't do this. So thank you so much. And if you are interested in being a part of the payload team, patreon.com/payloadpodcast. All the information is over there. Today, I think it was today, we got a brand new comic, Wasted Land. New Overwatch comic over at comic.playoverwatch.com. Make sure to check out that motion graphics one, because that thing is amazing.
Oh, I missed the motion graphics one. I just read the pleb one.
Oh no. Oh man. But yeah.
What a fool.
Ugh, it happens. But basically, this is the origin of Junkrat and Roadhog meeting. Both of them apparently have some sort of trouble with the queen of the wasteland here, and what I thought was really interesting is we get to hear Roadhog's thoughts. They came up as kind of thought bubbles throughout the comic. We almost never hear anything from Roadhog in game or even in any of the cinematics. Like, we had the recent one for Junkertown, and it was just noises and pointing. But now we get to hear Roadhog's thoughts. I enjoyed this comic. It was about as chaotic and silly as I expected it to be. What were your thoughts on it in terms of lore and stuff like that?
Yeah, I thought it was great. We actually get to see a little bit of a different side of Roadhog, namely any side of
it's yeah,
not just him killing things. So that was good. I think it was kind of interesting, because they could have went a couple ways. They could have made them both deep characters, or they could have made them both very comical and whimsical. They went one direction for Junkrat, like very like one-dimensional, like, okay, he's super zany, wacky, crazy, always getting into trouble, which is great. I think he should, they should run with that. And then they made Roadhog more of a subdued, there's more to this guy than meets the eye. So I really like that. And it also, it was interesting that the one thing that really stuck out to me in this comic was at the end, they mentioned that, like, the world needs us. That's one of the things that Roadhog was thinking, is that the world needs us. It's like, huh, that's an interesting way, because it's like, the world can always use more heroes. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, the world can always use more, like, psychotic thieves.
Yeah,
killers.
I guess. Like okay. Well, like, I guess it kind of harkened back to what he said at the beginning of the comic when there were those other kind of criminals trying to steal from wherever he was staying, and he scared them off. And they ran off, and he was like, oh, the world needs us. I was like, oh, okay. Like, what, like, defending against other lowly criminals or something? It was weird. Right. It was kind of funny in that
we're
way. But yeah,
better criminals.
Yeah,
you
exactly. But yeah, it was a fun comic. Go check it out, comic.playoverwatch.com. Let us know what you think. Any final thoughts before we move on?
I would definitely like to see a continuation of this one. Some of the other ones
yeah.
I thought were good, but I was like, okay, this is a good like clip of an event that happened. This one I want to like see more of like how they build out Roadhog.
Yeah, and I'd love to see them go a bit deeper into their past and why they have the trouble with the queen and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and
who
I
is
mean,
the queen?
Who is the queen either too? But yeah, good times. This was slated to talk about last week, but I think we've had more time with this mode, so we can have a little bit more of an expanded idea of it. Deathmatch and Team Deathmatch have been live for 2 weeks now, I want to say. What do you think of these so far? I've been really enjoying them. I'm curious what if you have been as well.
Yeah, so I actually have liked it a lot. I've really only played solo Deathmatch. Haven't quite done Team yet, so I don't know too much about Team, but for regular Deathmatch, I thought it was really fun, which is actually kind of surprising for me because I usually don't like the arcade modes, or I get very bored of them.
Mm-hmm.
I played a little bit of 3v3 and 1v1 when they came out, but it was like, okay, I'll just get my loot box and be done with it. This one, I could really see myself playing, you know, a half hour to an hour of Deathmatch before I want to play some competitive matches just to warm up and I also think it might be a good place for me to learn Doomfist because I'm not going to get berated by my team.
Yeah.
Which I'm very much throwing into the garbage by playing him.
Yeah, no, that was one of the things I kind of caught on to really quickly with Deathmatch was it really forces you to learn the hero you're playing or just get completely rolled. And it also teaches you, I think, counterplays if you need to switch up the hero against what other people are playing. But yeah, it's a really great tool to warm up, like you said, and I think that's really awesome, and I'm liking what I've been seeing from Deathmatch so far. The first one I played was a little rough because it was like three or four people playing Genji, and I was just like, oh really, come on. Like, but after that initial kind of silliness, the subsequent Deathmatches I played were really really fun and good. And Team Deathmatch, I've played a little bit of it as well. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, it really, the only problem I have with it, and this is just fine tuning stuff that Blizzard needs to do, is some of the, well, this is even in the regular Deathmatch as well. Some of the spawn points are just, I don't know if they're set spawn points or they try to put you kind of a certain distance away, but sometimes they put you like right next to an enemy and it really sucks to just spawn like that. But that's just some minor tweaking that they can pretty easily do, I imagine. And Team Deathmatch, I found a lot of success with Zenyatta, which shouldn't be a surprise, I feel like, because the Discord orb is so good. And it's been fun. I think you have to realize really quickly you want to skip those kill cams because if you don't skip them, I think you spawn a little bit slower than if you do skip them, which is kind of funny. But and that also gives you opportunity if you want to switch up who you're playing. It's good. And I like that they're using the maps that we already have and kind of just chunks of them, and also the other brawl maps, I guess. you could say. I forget what they're called, but the, like the forest ones.
Like the Widowmaker one.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I only ended up playing on the one map, so I wasn't actually sure if there was. I played, I think, like 4 or 5 games that were all on the same map, so I wasn't sure if there was other ones. But that, yeah, no, I would definitely like to see. I'd like to see more of those Brawl maps, because that was one of the things for like Halo and like Gears of War, is like having the maps that are like specifically designed for deathmatch. That's what's kind of fun. The only thing the only real qualm I had with deathmatch was that it seemed like it took a little bit, it played out a little bit too long. I feel like if you could lower the kill to maybe like 15 instead of 20, it just seemed like it felt a little bit too long. I mean, I guess you could probably have games that go really quickly if you just like go on a rampage, but it seemed like there were some games where it just was dragging on and on and on.
Yeah, it seems like that's another thing that's just a very minor tweak that they could play with to improve the quality of life of it. And I'd be interested to see what changing that would kind of do the dynamic of it. I mean, just from my experience, I was able to climb back up into top 4 to get my loot box. But it was after like the enemy had like 17 or 18. So if they changed it, then I wouldn't have gotten my loot box.
True.
So
true.
No, but yeah, I can definitely see it. There's been a few times where it's just dragged on. You're just like, I don't think I can catch up and get a loot box. So I don't know.
Just because I'm bad.
I wasn't saying that at all. Just for the record.
I was saying it.
Anyways, additional news. We had the patch come out before the season came out to the Junkrat, Ariza, Widow, and Roadhog changes. The D.Va and Mercy changes are still on the PTR being tested as we record this episode. From what I've seen, Junkrat has found some pretty big success. I mean, what are you seeing as far as these changes, and are they good overall, do you think?
Yeah, so I think the Junkrat successes are they're magnified right now. So it's a pretty big Junkrat change with his Riptire being a lot better, as well as him being able to hold two mines. So I think a lot of the like top players were like, okay, let's see if we can actually use Junkrat, because Junkrat is at least in my experience a fan favorite to play. People have been looking for ways to play Junkrat for quite some time, and even in competitive, in the esports scene, he's seen a non-zero amount of play from time to time.
Yeah,
he's also seen a zero amount of play from time to time. I don't think he's going to be top tier or broken or anything, but if he can get up to a point where he can see play on like defenses on certain points of certain maps, like, I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a little bit where Sombra is, although she might be a little bit higher pick rate just because you pick her in certain maps, certain situations, I feel like. But what I've seen through my placement matches was quite a bit of Ariza play. That that bigger shield is doing wonders for her ability to protect the team, and it's pretty crazy how much bigger it is, because on paper it didn't sound that much bigger, but when you see it, it's definitely huge. And as far as the Roadhog changes, they seem to be helping him out. I haven't seen him a whole lot in competitive, but in the team deathmatch I've been playing him, and it just definitely feels better to be able to heal while moving and have that lower damage that you take while that's going on. And Widow, I don't play Widow at all, so I don't know about those changes too much.
Yeah,
as far as like what effect they've had on her.
Right, so the Widow changes were pretty small. They made her grapple time a little bit shorter, so she can grapple out more often. I don't think, going to affect too much. And then her, when someone is affected by her poison grenade, you can now see her through, or you can see them through walls. So it gives the Widow vision of poisoned enemies. So another positive change. I think the Widow changes, you know, Widow is seeing only a mild amount of play, at least in the esports scene. She sees, I guess, a decent amount of play from like very high tier pros. So I think maybe we'll see a little bit more, but not the changes they made aren't the changes that need to happen to get her to where she once was, where she was like very standard pick. And then the Roadhog changes again. I don't think they didn't change the things about him that made him good at high level. So I think that's actually a good thing, because he was kind of abusive at high level. But I think they're more quality of life changes at lower levels and casual play. I think it's going to, it feels a lot better to be able to move around and heal. It also makes you feel a little bit more tanky, because you are a tank, not just a fat DPS.
Yeah.
Which is what he really felt like. And you've got a little bit more play with him. You know, I think one or two changes ago, they increased his ammo size, so he can fire off more shots. So he actually feels like he's less of a, well, I need to hit my hook combo and then run away, and more of a, okay, I can actually do something. I can actually play the game and fight here. And they added to that, which is, I think, a good thing overall.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm wanting to try him in competitive. We'll see if people don't yell at me too much about it, but I definitely would like to try to see him be successful again. I mean, yeah, it was fun when he was pretty overpowered, but I understand why the change needed to be made, because I was definitely on the other side of those one hit hook kills that just did not feel good. But yeah, I think the changes have been pretty good overall, and I'm actually still excited for the D.Va and the Mercy changes, because those I feel will really change up how the game is played overall.
Yeah, the D.Va change especially. We've on the podcast have been fortunate enough to have a bunch of pro players come on, and including CoolMat69, who's actually mm-hmm. D.Va main and playing D.Va for Team USA. As much as he likes playing D.Va and is very good at D.Va, it's like he's like kind of happy that the meta is not going to focus entirely around defense matrixes, and it's going to open up a lot of mm-hmm. Other characters. So I'm even though I D.Va is my golden gun, I'm happy to see her swap out. Plus we get sweet missiles for her, which is going
to
be awesome.
Yeah, the missiles should be fun. So yeah, we have that to look forward to probably the next couple of weeks or so. As Blizzard, I know, wants to make sure that those changes are done in the appropriate way as mm-hmm. they get feedback. But let's move into some esports news. It seems like things have been relatively quiet, but we're getting a whole bunch of news leading up to Overwatch League. Just kind of a drip feed of news. But the big one was today. Blizzard mm-hmm. finally announced that they have their own studio in Los Angeles, more specifically Burbank. But it's right off the 134 freeway, so it's super easy to get to if you're in the Southern California area. And I'm like 99% sure this is separate from the other facility they're using for Heroes of the Storm and HGC. And I believe they use through the WoW Arena stuff there as well. But I believe this is different. It's, I think, how many seats was it? I just had this open.
I think it's 450 with some like okay. special box seating as well.
Okay, yeah. Correctly. Yeah, yeah. That's what they said. 450 seats with some box seating. I was looking at the wrong thing. There we go. But when they have Overwatch League going on there, they'll actually have Overwatch League merch available mm-hmm. at a dedicated Blizzard gear store. And we're actually not very far away from the first public event at this Blizzard Arena. October 7th and 8th will be the Overwatch.
Yeah,
month from today, the Overwatch Contenders Season 1 playoffs will take center stage there. Top four teams from NA and EU battle over $100,000 US prize. Tickets are available now. So if you, as of recording this live, the tickets are still available. $15 a day or $25 for the whole weekend. This is what you're alluding to earlier.
Yeah. I really want to go. Like I really, really want to go. There's like So there's like three things I want to go to right now. I want to go to TwitchCon, I want to go to BlizzCon, and I want to go to this. And I mean, I don't have BlizzCon tickets right now, so that's still up in the air. I could go to TwitchCon, but I don't know which one I would want to go to more, the Contenders Finals or TwitchCon. It's like, it's such a toss-up for me.
Yeah, that's rough, because this is going to be a really cool event, I imagine, and I'm excited. It's not too far from me, so I will more likely than not be there. I actually was going to go to the World Cup one down here, mm-hmm. but unfortunately work called me in, so mm-hmm. couldn't make it, but hopefully we'll make it up with this. But this is just like a little bit, I think, of Blizzard's esports, greater esports plans, and I think mm-hmm. this is really cool to see that they are going this route, getting their own studio like for this, and I'm excited for this, because this means that Blizzard is really dedicated to Overwatch. I mean, we kind of were shown that at BlizzCon last year with the announcement of Overwatch League. It was very mm-hmm. apparent that they were all in on this, and they're also using this for Hearthstone stuff as well. So I mean, they're really ramping up their esports stuff, and I am excited. I mean, overall, what do you think this means kind of for Blizzard and esports in the future years to come?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been made apparent that Blizzard is paving their own path for esports. They're going a decidedly different route than esports has gone in the past, you know, 10 or 15 years. They're even going a different route than, say, a League of Legends or a Dota 2 is going. Mm-hmm. They're doing what Blizzard does. They're taking something that's already been established, you know, namely in esports, and they're bringing it down to its basics and then building it up with the Blizzard polish, which is exactly what I think everyone would have wanted. We didn't want to just see, oh, the Overwatch World Cup be exactly the League of Legends LCS mm-hmm. or the, you know, Dota 2 International, even though the Dota 2 International is actually pretty sweet. But
one day I'll go.
I don't follow Dota 2 at all, but I always watch the International.
It's hard not to. It's just such a crazy event.
Yeah, but they're really taking a page from the traditional sports book, which I think is awesome. I think if their goal is like 10 years and 15 years and 20 years out, like as Blizzard, to build esports in a new way, I think they're doing the right thing. Will Overwatch League be an overnight success? I hope so. But I think the way that they're building everything is, we're not looking at the next 2 or 3 years. We're looking at the next 15 to 20 years for esports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. They have a long-term goal in mind, and I know they have a growing team over there at Blizzard just specifically for esports and specifically for Overwatch League. So it's really exciting to see the kind of first steps of making this a reality. And I am so excited to be able to see some Overwatch League games in the next year in LA. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm 100% going to everything that happens on the East Coast, and yep. probably even like the Midwest. And then if the stars align, maybe I'll just travel with the teams or something. I don't know. It'll be
there. You go.
It'll be interesting to see. That's the dream.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Is to be able to travel with the teams and cover them. But you know, I'll stick to definitely going to the New York and Boston games. And then if somehow there's like a Toronto or a Buffalo team, that will be
there. You go.
I'll definitely be a season ticket holder for them.
Yeah, most definitely. And that'll be cool. That's not something we've actually ever seen in esports, is season ticket stuff. So I'm excited to see how that does play out. But other Overwatch esports news is Blizzard officially released a esports calendar late last week. It's on Saturday, actually, they released that, and it has all the like official tournaments, their times, and boy, I know we've talked about on the show before, about how to find when the events are on and stuff like that. It's great to see Blizzard officially putting this together, so you know when mm-hmm. Overwatch Contenders EU is, Overwatch Contenders NA, Apex Season 4, Overwatch Premier Series, and the Pacific Championship. I mean, there's you could stay up all night and all day watching esports at this point, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that's unfortunate is that most of those tournaments are non-NA time friendly for the most part.
Yeah, that's rough. It might be a little bit, Apex might be a little bit easier for you because it's 6 a.m.
Right.
Your time, yeah, it's just the 3 a.m. is, ooh, 3 a.m. is 3 rough. I mean, I used to do that back in the day for StarCraft 2 and GSL, but I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I used to get all the notifications when OGN would go live, and I'd just like wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, oh, great. Or it wasn't that, it was in the OW Discord, it would be like Slasher always posting, like, oh, the, you know, these are the matchups for Apex. I'm like, why are you up at 3 a.m, you monster?
That's Slasher for you.
Yeah, classic Slasher.
Yeah, it is. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I mean, we're excited that Blizzard is officially putting this out and putting it front and center. And I don't know if they're putting this on the launcher yet, but I know for some of the other games, they have the esports kind of front and center when they're on the launcher. I know I've seen it a few times, but
I believe this one is on the launcher. Okay,
cool. Perfect. Well, that's good. And I'm, like I said, excited to see Blizzard putting it front and center, making sure they're promoting their game to people who normally may not see all this stuff, like us, who obsess over all the events and figuring out when they're on and whatnot. But talking about another event, we haven't been able to talk about this on the payload yet, but we did have the Overwatch World Cup brackets announced for BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. We have UK versus Sweden, Canada versus Australia, China versus France, and oh my goodness, who is that leave? It leaves South Korea versus the USA. Probably one of the scariest draw you could have gotten for your first round in the World Cup brackets. I mean, does USA stand a chance against the South Korean Overwatch team?
Yeah, so we actually on the show got the chance to ask that very same question to the Team USA captain, Jake, the day that they found out that they got paired. And basically, he had a really good answer. So obviously, you're going to get asked that question. That's the first thing everyone's going to, oh, well, it stinks to get put up against South Korea. He said, actually, I think if there's a chance to beat South Korea, it's in the first round. So we actually got the best pairing we could have wanted if we want to win the whole thing, which I think is an awesome way to think about it. What he was saying is, like, South Korea is extremely good at going back and watching VODs and exploiting weaknesses that they see in their opponents. So if they had, you know, one or two rounds of data on the U.S., they are extremely good at picking apart those VODs and exploiting those weaknesses. So perhaps USA can come out fresh against them, maybe bring something a little bit crazy and try to cause an upset. I'm hoping. I mean, if I somehow can make it to BlizzCon, I'm absolutely going to. I don't care
That place is going to be so packed. It's going to be insane.
And I know how hard it is to get into that thing, but I will show up hours early.
Yeah,
and stand in that
line. I hope they learned from last year and have a much bigger arena for the World Cup this time around.
Yeah, it was hard to try to get in, and it seemed, you know, I was waiting in line for like 40 minutes, and then I get in and like not even all the seats are filled, like I didn't even get it.
Yeah, it's confusing sometimes, but what I find interesting is we have this pretty large gap between when these teams have qualified and when these teams will be playing, so the meta potentially could be completely different from what we understand it to be right now. And I'm wondering who that gives the advantage to. Is South Korea going to just be able to level up and be that much better and have all these secret strats, or is USA going to be able to put together something wonky, get inside South Korea's head, get a map win, and then start snowballing that into a potential victory? I mean, it's going to be really interesting. I'm surprised at how much time there is between the qualifiers and the actual event, but gives a lot of time to practice, though.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, we've been in this kind of weird in-between phase for Overwatch esports, like pre-Overwatch League, where like we're seeing a lot of organizations drop out just because they're not sure if they're going to be able to do Overwatch League and they don't know what their future is, etc. We've seen a lot of players kind of be in this weird like half free agent, half playing for a team area. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the US players are playing on contenders teams and jumping around. So you know, they're not even necessarily like they're not even necessarily committed to the other esports. And from what Jake and CoolMat69 were saying, they're really jiving together for this USA team, and they've got a really solid team that works really well together and obviously is extremely talented. So and they're very confident. Obviously they're not you know, they're not super like, oh, we're absolutely going to crush South Korea, because that would be silly, but they're confident. they feel it. And I think Nate Nanzer, the tweet he put at right that he tweeted out right after they did the drawing describes it best. It's like, if you want to be the best, you gotta
beat the best. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm rooting for the boys in the red, white, and blue, and I think that they at least have got a shot.
Yeah, and I do agree with them that getting this draw probably gives them the best shot that they can to beat South mm-hmm. Korea, because like you said, yeah, any data, just South Korea is just gonna tear apart it and mm-hmm. figure out what to do against it. So I'm really excited for the World Cup. I'm bummed we have so much time to wait, but obviously we have all these other events going on. Contenders is still going strong, and we have a month till those finals. But you did mention about these teams kind of backing out of Overwatch, and there was a report last week from ESPN Esports that basically detailed that Overwatch League teams will be required to rebrand. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that might have scared a couple of these teams away that were interested in that. So that basically what that means is Cloud9 has their spot, but they can't be Cloud9 in the Overwatch League. They have to be mm-hmm. this brand new team logo, stuff like that. And I'm curious, how much does this hurt these already endemic esports teams that already have their identity and their brand built up?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm still not 100% sure how I feel about it. You know, I obviously have loyalty to certain brands. You know, I've loved Rogue since they became an org not even that long ago. I just think their story is great. I've been following Cloud9 and Team Liquid for quite some time. I've built relationships with Immortals and Counterlogic Gaming. I would love to see all those org still be around. Unfortunately, I think the short term is not great for those orgs, but I think the long term might be. But like I mentioned earlier, like the way that Blizzard is positioning Overwatch League and pushing Overwatch League is not for the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. It's for the next 5, 10. Mm-hmm. And I saw a really good post by Noah Winston, who's the owner or CEO or both. I'm not actually sure. Don't quote me on it, but I think he's actually both of Immortals, who put out a video response to that. And he was not like super, super in favor of it, but he kind of explained the reasoning behind it and why it's not super like a huge mm-hmm. deal breaker for him. So I would implore people to watch that. The gist of it was like, if a company owns like the New York Yankees, for instance, they might own they might own like a football team or something, EU football, like soccer. They might own a football team, but they can't call it the New York Yankees still. It has to be a different brand. So, I mean, it follows in that same traditional sports pattern. I would still like to see, you know, the Rogues and Cloud Nines and Team Liquids of the world exist, but I think, they'll live. And to address your other question of, do I think that this pushed teams out? No, I don't think it pushed any of those like smaller brands out. I think that those smaller brands probably just either couldn't find a partner and didn't have $20 million on hand to buy a spot. Unfortunately.
Yeah. But that was kind of my thinking as well about the teams having to rebrand is there. We've been talking about this for ever since the announcement of Overwatch League. I feel like that they're taking these traditional sports models and trying to apply that to esports. And like you said, yeah, teams, the owners will own multiple teams most of the time. And they're not the Dodgers minor league team isn't called the Dodgers. It's called something else. And maybe that's what they're kind of trying to do here is make this distinction from these non Overwatch League teams and the Overwatch League teams that have their own specific identity. And I'm curious, how the branding will be, because it's totally a brand new game, and I'm excited to see what these teams come up with.
Yeah, funny enough, one of the fans of High Noon Podcast actually broke the story for the Shanghai team. He was looking at trademarks. He was looking up trademark proposals and whatnot, and found like by accident almost the Shanghai Dragons team. Like, he broke the story and then ESPN covered it after.
That's awesome.
Tweeted at him, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I actually listened to that episode. That was really cool to hear about that.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Like, it was like, oh man, this is awesome. And he like credited us for some reason, even though we didn't do anything. It's like, man, shout outs to Thorn Rain for doing that. He's awesome. So I think they're going to kind of go that traditional sports route. And I mean, from Blizzard's perspective, it makes sense, because like, they're trying to promote their league. They're not necessarily trying to promote Cloud9 and Team Liquid and NRG and Immortals and et cetera. So I get it from that perspective too. I just kind of wish they kept a little bit of that dream alive. But
yeah, it kind of feels a little bad that you're like, because I was really excited to have like all this Immortals gear and stuff for LA, and it was like, oh, they're not going to be called Immortals anymore. And now I'm kind of like, do I really want to get an Immortals jersey? Maybe not. I'll wait till Overwatch League comes out. So, yeah.
I kind of want to get an Immortals jersey just because we had the team manager, Josh Kim, on the show last week, and he was awesome. I almost want to get a jersey just because of him.
There you go. Yep. But, yeah, that is going to be episode 79 of the Payload Podcast. Thanks as always to our Grandmaster Supporter MVPs, Shadow, J.A. Correll, Liam O., Stuart J., Ling Z., Jacob S., and MW. If you like the show and would like to show your support, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast and find out what it's all about. No iTunes reviews, but if you are so inclined, 5-star reviews on iTunes really help us out and help expose the show to more listeners. Before we go, though, any shout outs before we take off? Where can people find you?
I'll give another shout out to Thorn Rain, who did an awesome job finding that story. He's also writing an article for us, so shout outs to him. Shout outs to A Smith, who's another fan of the show and just the best. He's basically our guest booker, so he reaches out to pros and stuff and gets awesome guests on the show for us. Shout outs to Deathblow, my co-host, and everyone else in the High Noon Podcast family. You can find all of our awesome stuff and all of our non-awesome stuff too over at highnoonpodcast.com. DJTyrant.com.
Yeah, most definitely. And you can find myself at DJTyrant and make sure to follow the show at Patreon. Or Patreon, Payload Podcast. Also, make sure to check. I know, subliminal messaging. Make sure to check out our Discord, discord.me/payload podcast. It's a really great way. Our community has really been cool and gotten people into groups for competitive. So if you're looking for some like-minded people to group with, it is a great resource for you. Also, Thornrain is also in our Discord. He's awesome guy. He's kind of all over the place with Overwatch stuff. So thank you for coming by the Discord. But thank you guys for tuning in for episode 79 of the Payload. You can find more great Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blissbro.com. The show records live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/blissbro. And we are on Twitter at Payload Podcast. Payload Podcast is primarily supported by you, our fans. Join the Payload family and find out how you can support patreon.com/payload podcast. We also love getting your emails. Send us your questions and comments to thepayload@blissbro.com and your 5-star iTunes reviews. Take a second, leave a 5-star review, and we'll mispronounce your name on the next show. And of course, special thanks to Jake Butno for our music, and special thanks to the Blevins for coming on the show. This has been episode 79. We will see you next week.